the book Hebrews, part 283. I'm Professor Hannes Redlinghuis of the First Assembly of Yahshua in South Africa, Pretoria, Montana, also international. Should you require any of the books which I've written, maybe the book What is Your God's Name? We're also busy with a study on it, which you can use for the study as well, which is a lot of information into it, which most probably you've never even heard of. You can contact me at my WhatsApp number, international number for South Africa is plus 27. The number is 0722-367-124. Just go to my website, https://yapa.co.za, as you can see right on the top here. If this is the first time that you are about to participate in the study, you are so very welcome. I urge you to go to part 1, start from the beginning, because you've missed out on 282 parts which we already have done. Very important to subscribe to the channel in order to receive the different notifications of all the studies that you are currently busy with, as well as our TikTok messages. Share this link to your friend and family, everybody that's dear to you. Make sure to give us 1611 King James Bible, pen and a notepad ready. Welcome to Breakfast with Prof. Hannes. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 11. Now, yesterday morning we didn't even read a scripture. We were just flowing with the Ruach HaKodesh. And that is what is so important, is that we will not be running between lines. We do as the Ruach HaKodesh leads us to do. And that is to be obedient. To be obedient is better as to pay tithes. The word says so. Do what Yahweh wants us to do. He says in Hebrews 11 verse 9, by faith, we're talking about Father Abram when he left his country. By faith he, that's Father Abram, so joined in the land of promise. Now this one sentence here cuts out 30-40 years with the time from where Father Abram just left the country of the Chaldeans, and he pursued in the promise of a land. He pursued in faith. And when I read this, by faith he journeyed in the land of promise. Oh, many things has happened between where he left to where it's been written. By faith he joined in the land of promise. 25 years, 30 years with a life that flown by, which never happened. Father Abram never joined in the land. He never received the promise. Did you know that? Abram and Isaac. Then we have Jacob. We have Isaac. Then we have Jacob. Then we have Israel. Israel been in captivity for 430 years under the Egyptianites. And then after they were let out, in the next 40 years, they traveled through the desert. And then the whole nation died out. The whole nation that left Egypt, they never saw the promised land, they died out. And even Moses, he saw the land, but he didn't enter. So, can you see the time that we are talking about? I said, from where Abram left to where the promised land. No, it can't be 30 or 40 years. No, you must. There were even 430 years in between where Israel was in captivity under the Egyptianites. You see how easily one sentence can change a whole scenario. And this is where Protestantism never taught us anything about eschatology. You see, when we hear the word eschatology, we think it's just to do with the end time prophecies and the end time as where we're living in now. The book of Revelation, Antichrist system, New World Order, One Money system, microchip implanting, Antichrist. And that's when we think eschatology, we think end time. This is eschatology. This is eschatology. This is what we are reading in verse Hebrews, verse 11, verse 9. We're reading of, I want to say, 500 years of time in the eschatology. From where, I'm just saying an example, from where Abram left his country to where they went into the promised land, which overflowed, which is the land Canaan. Just very near to 500 years. You can do your own calculation. You have Abram leaving, and you have the history of Sarah not having a baby, and then having a baby, then Isaac and Jacob, and then Israel. And then Israel was taken in captivity for 430 years, and then they came out of bondage. So you can do your calculation. We're talking roughly 500 years plus. But reading this one sentence, you don't think of it. And eschatology is about the past, the present, and the future. So one, when we read what Apostle Paul wrote here in Hebrews 11 verse 9, he's looking at history that's flown past. Eschatology, history. But in that one sentence, it cramps our minds. And most of the time we didn't even realize. The pastors and the reverends never even realized and preached about it. By faith he, that's Abram, so joined in the land of promise. He joined in the journey to the land of promise. But he never saw the land of promise. As in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob. The heirs with him and the same promise. So it just says here, Apostle Paul just says here, that he had a promise of a new, better place. Dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob. The heirs with him, that's Abram, of the same promise. They all were heirs of the same promise. Not one of them saw that Isaac, Jacob, and Abram never saw the promised land. Because after Jacob was Israel, the 12 nations, and then Israel. And Israel was in captivity for 430 years under the Egyptians. Now you can just think for yourself. This verse 9 says everything. But in faith, the message of expectation. I don't want to just say the message. I want to say the hope of expectation is transferred from one generation to the next generation to the next generation. Although Abram has died, and Isaac has died, and Jacob has died, they carried on the promise, the hope of the promise. What keeps us going as Yavist, as part of the bride of Yahushua University, is this hope of the promise, this expectancy, this something that makes the light shine, makes our eyes shine, makes us smile. The expectancy. In time before there were sonars, when women were pregnant and they, the husband and wife was expecting the firstborn. the excitement about the expectancy, not knowing whether it's a boy or a girl. I can remember when our first son was born, that my mother-in-law and them, they used to have a needle with a thread, and they will hold it, and if it's a small circle, it's a boy, and it's a wide circle, it's a girl. Everyone had a different method of trying to predict. But the expectancy, the excitement of waiting, you know, with expectancy comes excitement. With excitement comes patience. With patience comes hope. And with hope comes love. We believe. Faith. Everything. You can name everything. But everything works around this faith. This Rhema word. This revelation word. This revelation promise. We as bride is going to a land where there is no sickness, there will be no tears, there will be no cancers, there will be no heartaches and sorrows. Whatever is depressionizing you, whichever is depressing you, it's not going to be in heaven. We have a promise of a land where there will be joy, where Yahushua will be the light. The word says so. Where we will live without any worries. Where does the bread come from tomorrow? How do I pay the installment of my car? How do I feed my family? The prayer of life. And that's why we have this expectancy of 1 Corinthians 15, where the word says, in a second, in a twinkle of an eye, we are going to be changed from an earthly, a fleshly body into a heavenly body, meeting Yahushua up in the air. Just leaving this body in a changed body, in a glorified body. Hallelujah. When you say glorified body, can you just imagine? Change. As fast as I did it now. Oh, gone. Twinkle of an eye. It's like putting on a light switch. The lights is in this studio. One switch of a light, everything is darkened. Can you imagine? In the speed of putting off a switch, we will be transformed from this body, out of this life which we're living in, into a better life in a glorified body. Never to be bothered with sickness and sorrows and troubles and pains. That's an expectancy. That is what faith does. That's his faith. Have you seen it? No. Have you got a guarantor? Yes. Can I see it? It's written in blood. It's not written in ink. It's been written in the life of Yahushua hanging on a cross. When he said, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they do. Hallelujah. When he ascended into heaven, he told his apostles, as you see me leave, I will return. Do you have a expectancy of Yahushua coming back? You know, I can emphasize this more here. Because churches today, even Protestant churches, who believe in the coming of Yahushua, the parousia, today doesn't believe in the coming anymore. They say time has gone past. It's been too long. It's like the 10 virgins. Revelation 28. They got tired. 5 of them got tired. Well, they all got tired and they fell asleep. But only 5 of the 10 had enough oil. Why? Because they were bright. They were not church. The church, give me some of your oil. That attitude of give me. Give me this, give me money, give me this, give me. No, don't give me. You must provide. In the Ruach. You must have an expectancy in the Ruach. What if it's later than midnight? He said, this is what is so important to the bride. We need to understand the revelation word of Yafa, our Elohim. And that's why for the bride, he doesn't come like a thief in the night. The bride knows when the bridegroom is going to come. Yes, but the word says he comes like a thief in the night. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Go read it. He says in, I think verse 2, he says, he comes like a thief in the night. But the very next verse is, you who are bride, you know, he does not come like a thief in the night. Why? Because we can calculate. And the bride knows exactly when the bridegroom is going to come. So let us in faith await this promise that Yahushua is coming for us. Time has caught up with us. Let's function in faith today. Operate in faith as Abram did, with the expectancy Yahushua is coming for us. And there's one thing he can't do. He cannot lie. Till tomorrow morning, if his father's will, Maranatha, Yahushua is coming back again. Hallelujah.